This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour, coming to you live for the Tiki and Tierney Quick and Loan Studio here on a Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Good, a lot of good NFL content, obviously, with the AB stuff, with the Dak stuff, and we'll continue to get into it here. Tweets are coming in on Tiki and Tierney, or at Brandon Tierney. But as we inch toward the start of the NFL season, we like to do a little something we call Tiki and Tierney's 2 Days, where we focus on two teams, get you set up from every angle, what to expect, the storylines, who's in, who's out, all that stuff. And today, the Detroit Lions.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp 2-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Detroit Lions, 6-10, last in the NFC North. Year 2 for Matt Patricia in Detroit begins with a lot of question marks, most notably around quarterback Matthew Stafford.
Listen, guys, there's people that are going to say good things, they're going to say bad things about us every day. If I spent all my time worrying about what he said or Sue posted or that, I'd be doing a disservice to the guys in the locker room, and worrying about all that other stuff doesn't help me do that, so I don't do it.
However, Stafford finally has a run game thanks to Kerryon Johnson, who was the first Lion to run for over 100 yards in a game since 2013. Defensively, Patricia had their young core playing at a high level, finishing in the top half of the league in both yards and points allowed. But do these Lions have enough talent to compete in the loaded North?
All right, so whether it's the Silver Dome back in the day or Ford Field now, I'll tell you this, Lion fans, because I did live there for a minute, Lions fans will always show up, and Lions fans will always try to illuminate a positive, even when everything is seemingly negative around them. Lion fans deserve... they deserve a good year. Let's see if this is going to be the year. And we do so with somebody who played for the Lions. He's part of their broadcast team as well. Former offensive lineman, big man Lomas Brown is with us here on Tiki and Tierney to break down the Lions. Lomas, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
Hey, I am great. How are you today? Solo. I see the little fella. He's not in today,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I got to carry the rock 40 times today. I'm lined up in the backfield. So, yeah, and the legs get a little wobbly, man. I'm used to shouting it out and sharing it with my partner, but it's all good. Listen, you know that Lion fans, if nothing else, they are resilient. You go back to the Fonz days, the Ross days, the Morningwig days, the Mooch days, the Marinelli days, the Schwartz days. Where are we in terms of the Matt Patricia era? From a Lions point of view, the fans, are they oozing positivity, or are they not really sure? What do they think about this coach?
You know, I think it's more the not really sure yet. Just kind of holding back a little bit. Just don't want to jump in with both feet right now. They just got a toe in the water. They're just waiting to see how that water temperature is. And, you know, Coach, it was a little rough for Coach last year. I just think this year with him getting more of his guys in, Trey Flowers and getting Danny Amendola and some of the guys that they've gotten in from the Patriots, I think he got guys that can now relay his message in the locker room a lot more about what type of team they want to be and what type of organization that they're trying to build. So I do think this year should be a lot easier than last year, but they got a tough schedule facing them this year.
They do. They do. I mean, listen, the NFC North is terrific. There's not a bad team there. I mean, if there's a bad team, with all due respect, it's the Lions. I mean, it's not the Packers. You know what I mean? It's not the Packers. It's not the Vikings. It's not the Chicago Bears, that's for sure. We're talking to Lomas Brown, nearly 20 years in the NFL. So he knows his way around the locker room. He knows the league. 7 Pro Bowls as well. He's part of the broadcast team in Detroit. You know, and I want to actually branch out to the roster a bit and get to Stafford to start, but one thing I'm fearful of, and we've seen this with a lot of Belichick's disciples. Quite frankly, I saw this with my Jets, and I thought it was a big hindrance to Eric Mangini, who knows a lot of football, but I don't think he ever developed his own personality. Do you fear that Patricia is trying to replicate Belichick too much and he's not his own man, for lack of a better description? Do you sense that that's a possibility?
Well, you know, I see things are different. There's some things that, yes, they are trying to emulate, like the New England Patriots practice, the facilities, a lot of things like that. But I always hear Coach saying that he wants to stand on his own. He wants to be his own man. He wants to have his own identity. So I'm taking it at his word that he is trying to do things on his own. Yeah, they're trying to incorporate some of the Patriot ways, but I do think they want to try to build it the Detroit way, which is the way Matt Patricia's been talking. We want to build it the Detroit way, which would be the right way. So, yeah, I think it's something. Think about it. Why wouldn't you want to emulate Coach Bill Belichick? I mean, he's the greatest coach ever, but I do some of the coaches have to stand on their own, and I agree with you. I think that was a problem with some of the coaches that came out before Coach, trying to be Coach Belichick's when they really aren't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Lobus. Of course you want to try to replicate his success, which is basically impossible.
Right.
He's Lombardi and then some. I mean, to be fair to Lombardi, I mean, I think he surged ahead of the great Vince Lombardi years ago, personally.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's like, to act like that, you've got to have the rings and you've got to have the cachet. And, you know, if you don't touch the hearts of the players, if you don't connect to them on a human level, and you're not Belichick and you're just a disciple, I mean, if it was me and you played, if it was me, I'd be like, what is this guy kidding me? He's half a phony. I can't. How am I going to buy this? It's not even his own person. That's what I worry about.
That's a great point, and I'll look at it this way. Since I'm in Cleveland today, when I was with the Cleveland Browns in 99, Chris Palmer came in, and he was a disciple under Bill Parcells.
Yep.
And he tried to come in, and he tried the hard way. You know, he tried to be like Parcells, but like you said, he wasn't carrying any of the cachet or the jewelry that Coach Parcells carried. And you're right, it was a problem. It was a problem from the standpoint because we didn't know who he was. He was trying to be another coach instead of trying to be himself. So us as players didn't know who he was. And you're right. You have to know and have to get to know the human part of coaches before a player go out there and give his all to that coach. He needs to know what type of coach he's playing for. And we never got that opportunity here in 99 with Chris Palmer. So I agree 100% with you. That's going to be critical for coach to be himself. Until he get that cachet, he needs to be himself.
Okay, so we're on the same page with that. Lomas, let me run this by you here. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous to get on the air and say that week one in the NFL is really a must-win for anybody. So I'm not going to quite frame it that way. However, the Lions are playing the Cardinals. It's on the road in week one. Then they've got the Chargers. They've got the Eagles. They've got the Chiefs. They've got Green Bay. Then they've got Minnesota. And then if you think the Giants aren't very good, and I'm probably in that camp, but it's still in New York, it's in New Jersey, if they don't win week one, I mean, they could be 0-6.
Absolutely. You're so right. And looking at this schedule, it's imperative that the Lions get off to a good start. And it's going to be tough. I mean, think about it. We don't know what type of player Kyler Murray is. We don't know what type of offense Kingsbury's going to run. It's a lot of unknowns going into that game against Arizona, plus the travel on top of it. The East Coast team going out to the West Coast
is never an easy thing.
So you're right, all those different things. I'm afraid that if we don't get off to a good start, it could snowball on us and really, really affect the Lions the rest of the season. So you're right. To me, that's got to be the one given game early in that schedule. You got to beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm. All right, so that's Lomas Brown, 18 years in the NFL, terrific offensive lineman, part of the Lions broadcast team, 7 Pro Bowls, quarterback. All right, so, boy, it's amazing. I mean, if you're looking for the quarterback, if you go into the conveyor belt and you're looking to get a quarterback and – You know, Matthew Stafford is pretty much going to check every box. He's a pretty good athlete. He's got a hell of an arm. I know he's respected in the huddle. But, man, oh, man, good God, at what point does he start to win some big games, man? I mean, how much longer can we kick this down the road and say, it's that deficiency, it's this person's fault? You're the quarterback. You get paid the big money, and you either win or you lose. So, I mean, is this the final year for Stafford in Detroit if something doesn't happen?
I think something has to happen.
It's got to.
And you're right. I mean, again, the window of opportunity is closing. And if you look at the organization of the Detroit Lions, we lost two of the greatest players that ever played this game, just walked away from the organization. Johnson and Barry Sanders walked away. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that if they don't put enough talent around Matthew, or if Matthew can't raise the level of the talent around him, then we might be looking at another situation where we're losing the quarterback, either through them letting him go or him walking away. You know, unfortunately, with his wife having these medical problems and him having three kids under the age of five, I mean, as an 11-year vet, things start happening. You start thinking about different things in your life and where your life is going from that point. So I do think it's important for Matthew to win now. And like I said, it's either going to be through him elevating the talent around him, which he hadn't done yet, or us acquiring more talent to put around him. But it has to happen, and it has to happen soon, because I think Lions fans are really, really getting restless around there now.
I mean, I know that everybody knows this, but when I actually speak it out into the ether again, it is amazing. The Lions have not won a playoff game since the early 90s. Early 90s. You were probably going to practice. You were probably listening to De La Soul, whatever you were listening. It did 1991. Are you kidding me?
I know. It is sad. I mean, I was in uniform back then when we won that playoff game. But believe me, we had some older guys come around with the 1957 championship ring. And that just made it even worse, because we had these sisters since 1957. So it's just so many things with the Lions that has to change. And especially trying to get a home playoff game and finally winning a home playoff game. That just has to happen.
Crazy. Listen, the reception's getting a little dicey, but I think we tapped into it. I think we got some good opinions, a good perspective on the Lions. Lomas, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Hey, anytime.
There he is. He's one of the good guys, Lomas Brown. You know what's crazy, too? So, you know, when was I in Detroit? I was there 03, I think. No. That's 01 to, like, mid-01 to maybe early 03, right around there. And when I was there, they were looking for the quarterback. And Mike McMahon, I don't know if you're a Lions fan, you certainly remember that name. Mike McMahon played at Rutgers, had a rocket. He actually wound up playing in one of the Thanksgiving Day games. Charlie Batch was there. Then they drafted Harrington from Oregon, who bombed. I think he was a third overall pick. So they were always looking for their quarterback. Now they've had the quarterback, although I'm less enthused with Stafford as others, and I've said that many times, but he's still obviously talented. Now they have the quarterback, and they still can't get it right. And to me, I mean, that encompasses 20 years. That just tells me you're a bad franchise. That tells me that you're poorly run, and everybody knows it. I mean, if you go through myriad coaches and myriad systems and myriad personnel changes, you've had two new stadiums. It's not a fan support thing. I mean, for years, the Bears were terrible, so that should be, in theory, at least one win, probably two. I mean, they've done nothing. Nothing. How do you not win a playoff game since the 90s, early 90s, the early 1990s? I was in high school. Wow. I'll tell you what, you know, the Lions fans are great. They really are. The Silverdome, remember WrestleMania, had like, you know, 100,000 people, whatever it was. The Silverdome was huge. And I remember, again, when I lived there, they were terrible. It was the Morning Wig eras. They were awful. They didn't win a game. Still, 60,000 people, some more, 70,000. Lion fans are phenomenal, but damn it, they deserve better. I mean, it's just torture. They keep going back. I got a lot of respect for you, Lion fans, as much as I have for any fan base in any sport. I really mean that. But you guys deserve better than this. And you know what? I don't think you're going to necessarily get it this year. You'll be competitive. You'll be competitive. But that schedule, just listen to this once again real fast. You ready? This is brutal. At the Cardinals. Now, when the schedule first came out, you're like, oh, finally, okay, then, yeah, here we go. We got to win. But nobody knows what, and Loma said this, nobody knows what they're going to unveil. They could come out with an offense, you know, a variation of what they ran at Texas Tech at Oklahoma, and all of a sudden be like, whoa, wow, and they give up 40 points at their 0-1. And then you got to go play in L.A. against the Chargers. Then you got to go to Philadelphia and play the Eagles. And, oh, here's a big break. Here's a respite from the scheduling gods. Thank you. You get to host Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Woo-hoo! Then you get a bye week. You get to lick your wounds. And then if you're 1-3 or maybe 0-4, or maybe better, to be fair, but, you know, expect much better than that. Then you got to go to Green Bay and take on the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers, who, by the way, brought in some defensive pieces this year. Finally, they attacked free agency. And then once you get through that, you got to play the Vikings. Oh, man, there's not a lot of wins in that. There's just not. All right. Mike, what do we have coming up next year? That's right, we're going back-to-back with the Raiders. Okay, appreciate that. So, Tiki and Tierney's two-a-days roll on. Lincoln Kennedy, the big guy in the trenches, Link, will help us break down the Raiders, who obviously have a lot of things to dissect, which we will next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, summer's here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time you spend in the sun or the outdoors during the summer. Well, we also spend a lot of time in our cars during summer months. You know how heat can just drain the life out of you. It's just it's exhausting, right? Imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. Free! If it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store nearest you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every day.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch over to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Here on this Tuesday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Getting ready for the second installment of Hard Knocks, which leads us right into our Tiki and Tierney two-a-days. Let's tee up the Raiders. Here we go.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp two-a-days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Oakland Raiders, 4-12, last in the AFC West. Potentially the league's most entertaining team for reasons on and off the field, the Raiders are an eclectic group. So much of their season depends upon how Antonio Brown and Derek Carr mesh.
I think he's hungry for success, hungry to get on the winning side of things, and I'm hungry for the same thing. So I think we stand for the same causes, God-fearing men, family-first type people. We just want to be the best high crowd.
Fireworks could also explode, integrating Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito into the lineup. Will John Gruden and the much-maligned Raider defense be able to bounce back after trading Khalil Mack last season?
All right, let's get some answers from a gentleman who knows the Raiders well. He's part of the broadcast team, Raiders analyst on the radio, as I said, former offensive lineman, and a damn good one. Big Link is in the house. Lincoln Kennedy. Link, what's up, man? How you been?
Wonderful, brother. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. I'm hanging in pretty well. Do me a favor. Can you sell us – let's start with this here. Sell us why the Raiders aren't the fourth best team in this division.
why they aren't. That's a good one. I think the Raiders are going to be better than the Broncos, mainly because I have to see the way they're going to, Broncos are going to put everything together with Joe Flacco. They're going to run the ball and play defense. I think the Raiders can be exciting and score points. I'm not going to say they're going to be as efficient or as the Chargers or the Chiefs, but I think they potentially they have the way to be competitive. But it's a hard argument. It's a hard sell to say why they're not going to have you know slightly better record than they had last year with only four wins.
Yeah, you know, and listen, we all knew that this was a big undertaking for Gruden. I mean, you get a 10-year deal. It's obviously not going to happen overnight. The Raiders have been in shambles for a long time. There's a little flicker, and I was out there for this with Hugh Jackson, but then that got stuffed out quickly, and then it went south fast. And now you've got to, you know, rid the roster of some dead weight. You got to draft well. We'll see how they did with that. And you got to start putting your stamp on this. And what I want to know from you, Link, the John Gruden, not so much the one that we see on Hard Knocks, but the John Gruden that you see day-to-day at camp, what you hear about, what you know, how has he changed since the last time he coached in the NFL?
He's gotten wiser because he's taken a lot during his time in the booth. He took a lot from coaches around the league, both the successful and ones that are no longer been coaching in the league. He took little bits and pieces from all of those coaches while he was in the booth and sort of made up his mind on how he's going to do things the second time around. So I think he becomes a little bit more efficient. Look, his offense is still the same that I played for when he coached me. Mm-hmm. But he had a little bit twist of nuances, and dealing with today's current athletes, which is different than, say, my day, is going to, you know, is something that he also had to learn to adjust to. Because, look, you talk about the guys that you mentioned, Vontaze Perfect, Richie Incognito, Antonio Brown. I mean, these guys all bring a slew of different personalities, are different. It's no different than you had back in the day, but they also came with a lot more baggage and luggage, if you know what I mean. So,
trust me. Yeah, I do.
His second time around is better.
Okay. That's Lincoln Kennedy, who does a terrific job on the Raiders broadcast. Really good old lineman back in the days with us here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, listen, I understand that, you know, this is a new time and you got to make a grand entrance, whether it's the Rolls Royce or the hot air balloon, but I don't know, man. For somebody who was basically just kicked to the curb in Pittsburgh, you know, he could say whatever he wanted. They wanted to get rid of him. The hot air balloon, the frostbite, the helmet flap. I mean, can you just blend in for a day? How do you think this works with AB?
I wish I knew. I really do. I mean, the thing is that I've been around some divas in my time, and I've played with some, but nothing to the extent of this. And he hasn't even played it down in a Raider uniform. Now, I will say this. He can be electric once you get him on the field. And John Gruden and Derek Carr are going to love to have him on the field, but we just got to get him on the field. And I don't even know how we get to that because I've never seen this much, you know, this much to start a career off at a different place than somebody, as you mentioned, kicked to the curb. Raiders have been notorious for giving guys second chances. This is a second chance, and he's got a chance to be good, and he's got a quarterback. So I don't know why we have all this extra stuff that's going on around AB.
It's amazing. You know, and you know Derek Carr very well. And, you know, guys of the past, Rich Gannon, you know, obviously. Rich, you know, Rich was a leader. Rich was tough. Rich is smart. You know, Rich is not afraid, even as a broadcaster. If he's got to put you in his place, he'll do it. I mean, Rich had a streak of authority and competitiveness that I think everybody respected around him. For sure, he won the MVP in the early 2000s, almost won the Super Bowl, you guys. I look at Derek Carr, and I know he's got talent. And I know he's a man of faith, as we heard in the open there with AB. I think he's a good person. But I don't know how he deals with the first blow-up, which invariably will come with AB. Is he equipped to deal with this nonsense?
Not yet. But he's going to have to learn how to develop thick skin. He's going to rely on John Gruden to help him deal with it. Look, Gruden is going to do everything he can, coaching-wise and philosophy-wise, to get the ball to number 84. We already know that. And Derek out there is going to make a conscious effort, similar to what he did, you know, since he's been in the league, to get the ball to his playmakers as often as possible. Now, if it doesn't always go right, you know, who knows? But, you know, there's really going to be no excuse from this point out why Derek Carr can't be successful, because they surrounded him with some talent. Once they sort of figure out the nuances of the offensive line, and it's the reason why they went out and got Trent Brown to sew up that right tackle spot, you know, they have the potential to put some points on the board. I don't know how that translates to how many wins, but I think they can be an exciting offense.
Link, you know as well as I do that, you know, generally, you know, first impressions for rookies, they usually paint a fairly accurate picture, at least in terms of the ability to digest a playbook, accountability, a level of professionalism. You get a sense whether or not you drafted the right guy or you drafted the wrong guy. Not that it's always accurate, but you can at least kind of, instincts usually point you the right direction. Do you believe that they hit on their first round picks this past draft?
I do. I think Ferrell's an every down defensive tackle, defensive end, depending on how you want to call it. I do think they hit the nail on the head, and I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good for years to come because he provides that type of leadership and just character that this team was hungry for. I know he's a rookie, and then, yeah, this has got a lot of time to grow, but you look at their three first-round picks with Abram, Ferrell, and Jacobs, and I think they all drafted to address the need, and those needs are going to be filled. They're going to be good. Now, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, I might come into a problem where you're trying to keep, you can't keep all of them like the Cowboys have an issue, but you at least during that run, you might put together some pretty good seasons.
No, that's a problem down there. Hey, listen, if they all develop into stars and you're worrying about how to pay them, that's a good problem down the road. There's always a way to work around that. You got to make sure you drafted the right guys. I wanted to get your initial thoughts on that. I love safeties who love to thump. I love players who love to hit. I love that Abrams wants to get out there and start wrecking people. And I don't know what was clipped and what was edited and what's real and what's not. The Hard Knocks cameras, they do magic, and sometimes they don't always present the right, you know, the accurate depiction. I got to be honest with you, though. I'm an old school guy. I mean, after a while, I mean, Abrams, walk away. I mean, John Gruden's the coach. You're a rookie. Shut up and walk away. I mean, at first I liked it because it showed a little rough around the edges, which I want for my sake. But it was almost disrespectful. Did you think so?
Absolutely. I did.
Yeah.
That's the current state of these guys. Look, to do the job that we do, I got to be careful what I say to these guys, especially on the air, about these guys, because they're emotionally fragile. A lot of them get go into a box when you talk about them or critical of them, and they don't know how to really, you know, let things run off their back, have thick skin, if you know what I mean. And then more times than not, you have a guy like Abram, who stands up to the coach and he keeps it going. And he looks at it as joyful play, joyful banter. But you're right, it was borderline disrespectful. You know, just, hey, the coach said don't hit the guy. You know?
But this is
going to be a great year to see what John Gruden is truly made of, because he has got to manage a ton of personalities, a ton of different personalities in all different directions. I can honestly say for him so far, from what we've seen in training camp, that Vontaze Perfect is a different guy. Richie Incognito is a different guy in the sense that they're better. They're learning to be good teammates, and they've got the respect of the guys around them, especially Perfect on defense. You know, if we can get 84, get him in the fold, I think they're going to be good because Tyrell Williams is looking good.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. And listen, you know, people forget because Incognito, there's so many off-the-field issues. Incognito the last 5-6 years has been a hell of a football player, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
Terrific. Okay. And with Abrams, I'd much rather have to dial somebody down than dial them up, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't overreacting or misreading the situation. All right, once. All right, that's fine. We'll have a little playful banter twice. All right. Hey, but you're still a rookie. You shut up and listen to what I'm saying. All right, Link, let me end. You know what I'm saying? Let me end it with this real fast. Lincoln Kennedy, the great Lincoln Kennedy, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. The Hard Knocks cameras, do you think this is – and every team is different. Every organization is different. Do you think this is ultimately a good thing for the franchise or to their detriment, big picture?
You know what? They're in the midst of it, and they seem to be handling it pretty well. I couldn't do it, to be honest with you. I mean,
no.
I think of it as just one of those distractions, especially with all these new faces and trying to juggle all these things. You know, the guys in the locker room for the last couple of weeks have been talking about – Antonio Brown this, Antonio Brown that. He hasn't played one down. You haven't seen anything yet since, you know, minicamp. And then, you know, for the whole thing to come out about the helmet, I mean, it just leaves you in a state of fray where you're like, well, what is all this extra stuff that I got to deal with, along with cameras in your back and no privacy? You got to watch what you say. You know, coaches are on their P's and Q's, and Mike Mayock and all these guys, everybody's different when the cameras are around. So it wouldn't be necessarily a distraction that I would welcome, but they seem to be handling it pretty well.
I got you. All right, big man. Great stuff. Great rundown of your Raiders. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, Link. Good stuff, man.
I appreciate the time, man. Have a great one.
Lincoln Kennedy's in the house. He's good. Link is good. Yeah, those cameras are interesting. I mean, anybody, you're aware of them. I don't care who you are and how natural you think you are in front of a camera, you're still aware that there's a camera. So you're going to try to put forth whatever you want to put forth when you know people are going to see it. So it's, you know, I don't think it's going to crush them. I don't think it's going to elevate them. But it is interesting to go through that every single day and see how they splice it together and what they put up. Put out for public consumption. All right, coming up next, let's get Jay Berman's update and a couple of final thoughts on Dak Prescott, how I started the show, and we've got the blast as well. Berman, right now.
All right,
Tiki and Tierney, time now for the Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at the team and their plan for success, the Yankees. Yankees is just mashing. Yanks feasting on the Orioles this season, hitting an all-time major league record 59 home runs so far. They're still playing twice, right, against the Orioles. No team has ever hit more home runs against any one franchise in a single season. More specifically, infielder Gleyber Torres has gone bonkers with 13 bombs against Baltimore. With two games still to go, Gleyber trails only the great Lou Gehrig, Iron Horse, and his 14 home runs against the Indians back in 1936. So a little history for the young star for the Yankees, flirting with it. Napa Auto Parts, the expertise in parts you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So let me ask you this here, guys. You heard, and then we'll get to the blast and round it out with some final thoughts on Dak Prescott. So we preview the Lions today, all right, with Lomas Brown, and the Raiders with Lincoln Kennedy, both really good players, both analysts for those teams. Which team has a better record? Because you can make the case, and it's a pretty easy one to make, that both teams are last, at least on paper, projection-wise, consensus-wise, in their respective divisions. Who wins more games? Thiesel, I'll start with you. Lions or Raiders?
Man, I'm going to very tepidly say the Raiders. I think their ceiling's higher, but I think their floor is also lower.
Interesting.
I'm going to say the Raiders.
Okay. Mike?
I'm going to say the Raiders as well, only because of the schedule we were not only. I think that they are slightly better than Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young talent. I think that if AB's on the field, he can really help. And then, you know, a rookie running back and Jacobs, like, you just plug him in.
Yep.
The defense can't get any worse. Now, I'm looking at the Raiders' schedule. It's really not any easier.
Well,
than...
none of it's easy when you're not that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you take any team that's, like, not thought to be very good on paper coming in. Generally, most starts to the seasons are daunting. But give me the start of the Raiders' season.
So their first game is probably their easiest game in a while. It's the Denver Broncos at home.
Okay.
But then they got Chiefs, Vikings, Colts, Bears, Packers, Texans, and then they got the Lions. And then, you know, and then kind of it gets a little bit easier from there. Chargers, Bengals, Jets, Chiefs, Titans, Jags.
Whoa. Don't lump our Jets in with the easy stuff.
Jets are going to win eight games this year, maybe.
I'm going to put them in for nine. Keep going.
All right. So nine, it's not easy, but it's not super. But Titans, we don't know. Jags could be. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
Early on, it's going to be, I mean, the first seven games outside of the Broncos are pretty tough.
Okay.
So
interesting. Right.
I say the Raiders just because a little bit slightly more talent and their schedule lightens up a little bit towards the back end.
All right. Hey, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, we need to talk all things football. The crew's going to hit it with CBS's own Tony Romo. Wow, Romo and Nance and Tracy. Well, Tracy's always there, but it's going to be Romo, Nance, and Tracy tonight. On We Need to Talk, very nice. They get ready for another season of NFL football only on CBS. And, of course, We Need to Talk on CBS Sports Network. Speaking of We Need to Talk, I was in a hotel room last night, and I finally stumbled upon. Because that's one thing about being in a hotel for a month. You don't have demand. You don't have anything on demand. You can't bang things in DVR. So I just organically stumbled on Uncle Drew. Right? Why don't you hold these? And Lisa Leslie did a really good job. She was good. Did you guys see that yet? You didn't see it, did you?
No, this doesn't seem like kind of movie I'd be into.
Honestly, you know, I could see that. You're not a huge NBA. Well, you like the NBA.
No, I am, but that whole cheesy, corny, Shaq dressed up. Like, I don't buy that stuff.
It is what it is. Reggie Miller was in there, and a little Nate Robinson, a little Nate Dogg. It was actually pretty good. Lisa did a really nice job. So that's coming up tonight. We've got we need to talk with Romo and Jim and Tracy. And speaking of CBS Sports Network, we're getting ready for – it's amazing. I mean, you know, everybody says, oh, time flies. We are getting ready for season number 7 of Tops. Season number 7, which is amazing. I remember when this first came as a concept, and they hired me to do it. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then 7 years later, here we are, season number 7. So the whole crew is back. The Shine, myself, Amy Trask, the Iron Man, Fletch Dog, London Fletcher. So we got you covered between myself and Tiki and obviously Rome and Ryder, all the radio stuff here at CBS. But Damon, D.A., Taz the Moose, of course, Time to Shine. I mean, we're really ready for football season. It's just about time. Oh, real quick on this, guys, before we get to the blast. So I'm going to be drafting 7th in my main league, right? And you know what's amazing? Like, a lot of the, I don't know, maybe I'm just married to this year and I'm overreacting, but I don't think so. I think that this year's, the first round of the fantasy drafts is probably as unpredictable and tough to read as it's been in a long time. Is Le'Veon Bell rusty? Is Melvin Gordon in camp? Is Ezekiel Elliott signed? Is Todd Gurley healthy? I mean, you're obviously going to go running back with, you know, first 5 or 6 picks. You mix in McCaffrey, you mix in Kamara, you mix in a couple of the top wide receivers. You take a quarterback late. Don't even waste the time taking a quarterback early. Get a good tight end early. Get one of the best early. The first round, there's legitimately 6 questions that, if you don't answer it properly, can absolutely sabotage the early part of your draft. So I was looking at that because I was in the hotel room, a lot of time to look at everything. So I basically did like 3 mocks, and I'm like, all right, 7th overall. I know that Zeke will be gone. I know who will be gone. I know McCaffrey's going to be gone. Kamara's going to be gone. What do I want to do? And then I'm like, you know, Le'Veon Bell very well might be there at number 7, but do I want to roll the dice on Bell after a year? And I think the Jets will be better, but I don't know that their offense will be prolific necessarily. A lot to consider. All right, let's get to the blast. Here we go, guys. Hit it up.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
So, BT, Brian Flores having Josh Rosen with the first team offense, but complains about poor body language.
Yes.
How important is body language for a quarterback?
I think body language is important for everybody in every facet of life. I think you can learn a lot about how people walk around. Are their shoulders back, or are they slumped, or are their heads down, or are they looking at you and making eye contact? I mean, when you hold the door for somebody, do you look them in the eye, or do you not even? I mean, to me, body language is very big and very telling, especially if you have to lead 10 other men into the end zone. He better pick it up.
Nick Foles was seen running 10 50-yard sprints alone after a 3-hour practice in 102-degree heat. Do you love his dedication and leadership, or is this just him being odd and trying to show off?
I don't think he's trying to show off. I don't think that Nick Foles is built that way. I do think J.J. Watt was showing off a little bit for the Hard Knocks cameras a couple of years back when he was running by himself, shirt off, you know, frolicking, running with the sprinklers going on. We get it. You're working hard. I think Nick has probably done this before. He played a lot of basketball and he loves to run cardiovascularly. He's in great shape. And maybe they're going to deploy him a little even more so in the running game. So he's really getting his legs ready. I love it.
Phillies fire their hitting coach and bring back 75-year-old Charlie Manuel.
Yep.
Can Manuel still be an effective coach, or is he too old?
Sure, why not? I mean, why couldn't he be? Can he speak? Can he see? Can he communicate? Can he decipher, you know, pitches and pitch patterns? I mean, I understand why you would ask the question. I'm not getting on you here, Mike. But think about who's the hottest team in baseball? The Mets. The Mets, when they hired their pitching coach, they were the butt of every joke. No one's laughing now. Met fans are laughing. It's called joy. It's called, you know, tears. They're finally happy, so they're laughing. Age, I think that that's unfair. Now, there are physical limitations based on age, clearly. You're not going to see a 63-year-old catcher. But in terms of the mind, no limits.
Blake Snell and Corey Kluber sending early September returns for their respective teams. Which former Cy Young winner will impact his team most down the stretch?
I think probably Blake Snell, because he has to. And, you know, Kluber, the Indians are rolling. Ramirez has been mashing since the All-Star break. He's got an OPS over 1,000. He's stealing bases. He's hitting home runs again. Went deep yesterday. So the Indians don't really need Kluber. I mean, to win a World Series, they probably do. But if Blake Snell doesn't come back and put a few wins on the board, Rays aren't going to get that wild card spot. So the answer is Blake Snell.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
That it? That's it? All right, let's say goodbye to these mountains pretty soon. Bye-bye, mountains. Does that look like a real mountain? I can't really tell. DC, you guys are looking at it differently than I am. Does that look like a real mountain, or does that look like somebody...
It looks like a painting.
It does look like a painting, right?
I actually think it looks pretty good.
I'll tell you, Utah's a beautiful state. But your boy's ready to come home, and come home I will. So I'll be back on... have an early flight Friday, back in the office, our New York studios, on Monday... And then Teak, yeah, boy, has he earned it. He'll get a little time off, so I'll carry the weight. I'll carry the load for my guy. And then before you know it, we're back together as a team, as a duo, as a tandem, and we rock and roll into the season. So have a great Tuesday night, and I will catch you on Monday. Peace! Gotta go.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.